Do you want me to hold it?
You have to hold it very
Please, would you hold it, please?
I love holding it.
Hold it close to your mouth.
I know. Stop sticking it in your mouth.
Don't lick it.
Stop sticking it. Hey, stop swallowing.
We're not on air yet.
Peter.
Speaking of your little Peter.
Yes. Oh, that's how I'll remember your name.
Mm-hmm. Now you see. There you go. Thank
I'll
you
call
for
you
that.
Little Peter.
Little Peter, as I affectionately know him, Little Peter.
Hey, so Omar, what does it mean when you say you're up in someone's stuff? What does that mean to you?
That means that. You're,
that's what it means to me.
It means that you're fucking them.
Oh, is that what it
no,
means?
No, but it doesn't. It, you're
no,
in the
I think it means that you're in their business. You're okay. All. It depends. If you say all up in their stuff,
yes,
all up through their stuff,
that's that you're in their business.
But if you're up in their stuff, does that mean they have pubic hair?
Oh, that, I don't know if that,
up
I
their, they're short and curlies.
I don't know. I think it's no, see, we've met our match. This is going to be the best one ever.
Oh, what a surprise!
Or she's going to shut it. Or she's going to shut the show.
She's
going
to shut us down completely.
For Come use on, of I'm
illicit
sure.
language.
Yeah, would you use strong language here too?
Very, very strong, forceful, forte, fortissimo language.
And we speak pidgin Italian on occasion.
And French too, from time to time. And we all know. Who speaks French on the other side of the table, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah. Sure, I remember that whole thing a few years ago. It's like, oh, I speak French. Do you really? Oh, okay, let's have that.
That was the funniest thing.
Could you order us a sandwich? No, I can't do
French.
That. What does
like,
this mean?
No, I don't know. What he means is, excuse
me.
I remember one very specific thing. I know you
didn't speak French.
I remember one specific thing. It was a very colloquial thing that French people say when someone is pregnant.
Enceinte.
No, je suis plan.
Yes.
A plan. And he kept saying, it does not mean pregnant. It doesn't.
It
just kept. And I went over to some local French woman, and asked her what it was. And she goes, oh, yes.
When you left your boots with us? We had to walk out with your boots.
Well, that's
this is going to be a very good
that's
show.
Going to be a very interesting show.
Let's cue the music.
Cue me, baby.
We'll cue you, baby. We'll line you up and cue you.
Listen, sweetie, you can go ahead and change that. You need to.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, back again.
And welcome.
Stopping ground.
To the Omar and Peter show.
I am Peter. And that's Omar.
And I'm Omar. And we're the stars of the Peter and Omar show.
And this is episode 55.
55,
I believe.
55, yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So what happened in your week, last week, Omar? Exciting, rich thing to bore us all to death.
I remember a great deal. I made some travel plans and I changed them.
Okay. Now there's a shock. There's a shock. That cackling in the background. Please,
we have a guest tonight again.
You made some travel plans to go where now? Might that be? Because I've never, for as long as I've known you, I've never known you to change your
to change my mind
change
or my
mind
plans
or plans about anything.
Well, I was considering a trip to Paris. And then I said no.
You were considering, or it was being considered?
It was being considered.
Oh, okay.
By various people.
This is Paris, France, now you're talking about.
Paris, Texas.
Paris, Texas,
yes.
Okay.
I think it's a
you're
much
a bit of a Francophile, aren't you?
No.
Just a little bit?
No.
I mean, you claim
to
speak
French Italian,
fluently,
actually.
And other things.
I prefer Italian.
That's a change. My. You have gone through a
I love it. Wait.
I'm over Paris.
There's someone already jumping the gate here. And okay. we haven't finished insulting her or ripping her to shreds yet.
Why don't you introduce
our latest
victim?
Our latest find.
Our latest find, yes, our latest find.
Oh, but I didn't finish talking about my travel plans.
Yes, please.
So then I thought I might go to Cairo. Then I said no. Then maybe, I don't know.
That's fascinating. It's really interesting,
yeah.
I must say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was interesting.
So it's kind
I thought we were in Cairo.
We're not in Cairo. We're in where are we now?
Kayak Club.
We're at the Kayak Club.
Yeah.
I can see why you were confused.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then when you were making plans to go to Paris or Cairo, that would be just like anyone else kind of going on the internet, just kind of searching through websites, just looking for stuff and then deciding not to go there.
No, that was me deciding whose invitation I was going to take and whether I liked their parties and their houses and the things that they're offering. So,
wow, there is a strong, strong smell in here right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
It must be our next guest.
Oh. Yes, smell nice it, segue. Baby.
It's that perfume, baby.
So odiferous, my dear. Well, yes. Our guest this evening is the wonderful and talented Alana Krauss.
Yes.
Native of California, San Francisco, up there somewhere. And she is a director, a writer, an actress. Okay, you carry on because I obviously don't know how to say it. Go ahead. Well, please.
I thought I might interrupt you for a change. You know.
I love it. Yeah.
So
that's great, isn't it?
But I mean, yeah, she's a multi-talented person, and I don't know what the hell she's doing here. But I think she's got a film that's going to be released soon.
Uh-huh. Well, let's put it to her.
So why don't you talk to us?
Why don't we give it to her and she'll give it back to us?
Catch and release.
Well, welcome, Alana.
Don't release it too
very, very,
very. Hold it really close to your mouth, sweetie. It tastes much better that way.
It smells like your balls.
Well, it smells like my balls.
There is a backstory, is there not?
There's a backstory to that particular comment.
We'll get into that. We're going to get into that.
Literally a backstory.
We're going to get into that a little bit later.
Well, I didn't say the back
of
your
balls. The entire hour, we're going to be just laughing for the entire hour.
No. There's got to be a few details about Ms. Krauss.
Okay, why don't you sort of expound on that "it smells like your balls" story?
I think that was enough.
I think your balls are very uninteresting to anybody but you, perhaps.
Absolutely.
So, like moving forward.
Or backwards,
whichever is most appealing. I think that we should, let's hear a little bit about your...
a little, though. Not
well,
too much.
Well, my latest film is called Stripped Down, and it was it takes place in a strip club, and it's a feminist tale of these women taking revenge on the strip club owner.
Is it T-A-I-L or T-A-L-E?
all the above. And absolutely. Okay, it's a tale of tales.
Tale of Despero.
It's a tale of tales. And
the feminists are there, but they're still hot, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, they're a bunch of... well, to me.
Oh, that kind of feminist. Okay.
No, not at all.
Yes,
but we have played La Femme Film Festival, but no, they're very beautiful young women in the movie, but yes, it's Omar. Are you into that objectification thing?
Yeah, once in a while.
Yeah. Like well, yes. Then this is a tale of objectification.
Or as we like to
so
say,
so it'll be right up Italy. Your alley, Peter.
Which alley?
The one you like to objectify and be punished for. And so these women take revenge on the strip club owner, and they wax his ass and, you know, make him dance and strip.
Scat boy.
And
scat.
Scat, yes. Scat.
And much is revealed.
And much is revealed. And
literally and figuratively and symbolically and spiritually.
Yeah, and there's exactly. Now, and there are different layers to it. And it has the amazing Ian Ziering in it, who did a great job. And we had some really great performances across the board. Mm. I'm really proud of all the actors in it.
I wanted to ask you this, to go off in another direction. So you're also the director and the writer and the producer.
Yes.
So of all those hats.
Yes.
Which one?
That was all of them answering to. That was the actor, the director, the producer, and the writer. Yes.
Did you find like the most challenging, and which one did you find the most rewarding of all those? And you don't have to answer that question tonight.
They just have different challenges. I mean, it's. I mean, being the director probably has the most stress on it, I would think, just because you have all the responsibility to make the whole thing work.
Right.
Other than that, it's a walk in the park. You're like, what's for lunch? You know, you don't have to worry about how everything looks and every level and how the performances are or any of it, you know.
So when you're wearing all those hats, basically, it's really hard to kind of separate one from another, really.
Oh, well, no, you have to be somewhat schizophrenic and separated. It's a little weird for the other actors because you're going between being, I mean, I was this, you know, beaten woman. And to this raving bitch director. And so, you know, I'm kidding about that, of course.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But, don't frighten our listeners.
No, I was very... no, I'm not. But no, but No, to be a serious, to be taken seriously by the crew and have, you know, and to be keeping things moving. It's, I mean, it's a challenge to be going back and forth and to stay in character with the actors and also get the performances that one wants and to help them feel safe. It's a challenge.
And what was the, what would the inspiration for the piece be? Is it something from the workings of your vast imagination, or is it taken from any part of your personal life? Or
It's a combination.
Combinazione, as we say in Italy.
A combinazione.
Yeah, because we like to teach and educate here as well also.
Yes, yes, please.
It's a combo. Is, as we say in New Jersey, where I actually was born.
Oh.
But
my bad.
No, that's fine. I was raised in San Francisco, so it's fine. I would say that part of it's personal, in the sense of the real laughing matter of having been molested as a very very small child, and then raped as a young teenager. So that's a bit in the movie, and some of the path of recovery from some of those things are parallel in my life. And I recognized from when I had gone to a strip club. I haven't spent much time in strip clubs.
Well,
Who has? Omar was a stripper, weren't you?
We actually,
you look really familiar.
We actually have a stripper pole here coming up from the
there.
Down
there you
the
go.
Ceiling.
I know. Well, I can't hang upside down on one leg
much
and
anymore.
Then, you know,
on Tuesdays.
But, yeah, but it was, and I saw how some of the strippers just had that look that I recognized of not really being present and in their bodies, and so that was. Some of the inspiration, and then I went and interviewed a bunch of them, and then had them read the script and give me bunches of notes. And after I'd written the script, and we went back and forth, and so that's how, you know, that's probably the personal and the inspiration was.
That's why then.
So this is a comedy, in other words.
It is, yeah.
Very light.
It's very, no, but it is a comedy. I mean, I think it's one of the things that's great about it is it's just, you know, it's like you two. It's you inflict pain and then you laugh.
It works, yes, pretty much.
I'm sorry, but, flitch, what?
No. Yeah, flick pain.
Inflict pain. Oh,
well, you could flick pain. Flick. If you're clever,
you could inflinch pain, too.
You could.
You could flinch
but,
with pain.
Yeah, it's, I think... pain is a little more palatable with humor.
Yes.
And so that's why there are a number of laughs in the movie, and that's why I like to watch it with an audience. I get more laughs domestically. Internationally, when it's shown in film festivals, people have been taking it very seriously, which has been really interesting to me.
Right.
And I've had a really great response in that regard, but they don't necessarily laugh. So the first few times I showed it internationally, it freaked me out a bit because I was like, oh my gosh, they don't like it. No, they were getting the serious storyline, and some of my little jokes were floating off.
So the Europeans really got you more on the symbolic level, the intellectual level, the thematic level.
Absolutely, because there's a whole Jungian aspect to the film as well.
Explain.
Well,
Jungian, I mean, the theorist.
I know who Jung is. Jungian, I was the there during the formulation of the theories. But carry on as to how that relates here.
I thought one of you guys was a Freudian and has that whole thing about penis
envy. I'm very well Jungian.
I would say that Peter's probably the Freudian one with Freudian envy, yes.
Why would you say that? I don't understand what that means, really. I'm not a well-read person, as you know.
That's true.
At all.
You're so actually really looking a little green right now.
Any of those sort of comments or references at all.
But, you know, right, but circling back to the question.
Balzac.
So the whole twist of all of the women being the same person at the end. So you don't have to watch the movie. You don't have to go to iTunes. And you don't have to go to Netflix.
And
you don't have to go to Amazon.
This is actually
Hollywood.
A great time to let's explicitly plug the film.
Okay.
So tell us what the website is. Tell us where we can find information
about
the film.
See the trailer on strippeddownthemovie.com. And that's stripped with two P's.
As opposed to striped.com.
Yes, exactly.
Where you can buy a tiger.
Yes.
So you two P's and one down.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then, which is what you like to do, huh?
And, oh, I like to get down. You know me. Yeah. I like to get down, stripped or not.
And then, and it's going to be available on Netflix and great. iTunes and Amazon and Hollywood Video and a bunch of mom and pop video stores.
The mom and poppers fantastic. Are in it?
The mama, the mamas and the papas, Mama Cass. And
California Dreaming. Is that their song?
Yes. Oh, good call.
See, I know something.
Yeah.
Nice. Can you I do a little bit more, things. Please, so I can, you know,
yeah, let's stimulate that
dreaming
brain of yours.
So,
brain.
Yeah, brain. So that's, it's available there, and thank you.
Oh, she's done this. She's done. She's done this before. This
There's
lady.
Drug testing
she
on this show.
This before. She has done this before. So yeah, wow, which is it's a lot of information to absorb, definitely. So that's why you have listened to your story. That's why you have a lot of your screenings where you would donate certain parts of the proceeds to like the rape crisis centers and people women are abused or like
survivors of sexual
violence
or sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Because you know, and I look at myself as a survivor, not as a victim.
Yeah.
But
Well, let me ask you. I mean, in terms of the process of creating this, I mean, you mentioned that it was part of your healing. How deep did you have to dig to hit those places? I mean, these women go through a lot in this film.
About 4 feet, I'd say. 4 feet.
Right.
I mean, was it painful? I mean, how
it
deeply
was
painful
very,
was it
was
for
actually,
you in, this, in
was,
the creation of this?
It was pretty tough. And it was interesting because I wrote the revenge scene first.
Mm.
And it's interesting. I've met other women that have the same revenge fantasy of against yes exactly
Revenge-y.
Against the rapist and so that's a common theme, and there's a stage that one goes through of not everybody I'm sure, but of rage, of a certain level of anger with what happened. And that's where the middle character, that's actually I think one of the most fun characters in the movie,
yes,
she just rips it up. She uses her sexuality as a weapon,
as a tool.
Yes, and she's very angry, and
which is also self-destructing at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And she's an alcoholic and drug user, and it's all of those things. Those are definitely a stage, and can be a stage in dealing with some of these wounds. Because some of these, what's surprising to me with this stuff is that it just doesn't. These things happen when somebody's 3-4 years old, and those boundaries are violated, and it violates your basic self-esteem. So that when that's, for example, for me, when I was then raped as a teenager, because I went to college when I was 15, but and was raped, and not in a normal way, and not even in a good way, bad way. I didn't even know, because they didn't have the internet then, that I wasn't. And it was well read, but I just somehow or another had somehow not understood that particular aspect of sexuality. In any case, being sodomized.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Okay. So, I mean, I was...
You see the blank, confused look on my face.
Yes, I was just very, very shocked. Not only was I being raped by the very large person, but a man, but I was... and screaming. It was, you know, so... In any case, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but so it's amazing to me how those wounds can, you know, you think you're over it, and
but they manifest in other ways later on in your life. They can
absolutely
have different thing as like as an artist, you sort of, it comes out through your art, your wart, I was going to say.
Well, yeah,
it comes out through your warts.
We are rather pussy today.
But I mean, sometimes it's good sort of to have that sort of negative energy, have a positive creative outlet, as opposed to it sort of having to actually kind of work through the steps of it and try to get over it and have it be a huge negative ball in your past.
Absolutely.
You know,
and
I
felt
nicer
pretty
to be able
much
to,
I thought I was pretty much at peace with it, but I realized as I was dredging through it that there was more there.
Yeah.
And I realized one of the things that I hadn't realized, and I realized through the process of writing, was that the connection between what had happened to me when I was 3 years old to the rape was because I went and reported it to the provost of my college, but her attitude was, yeah, I heard you yelling, but I couldn't, you know. She made some joke.
Proviscous, is that what
yes,
you said?
She made some, she knew
she kept
the person,
her proviscous she, out of it.
She knew who
she was proviscous.
She knew the person who had raped me. And she because she sort of was flip about it, and I had had this violation, I didn't go and have the self-esteem to say, no, I deserve to not have these things happen to me. And that's one of the common things is that with a number of the strippers is that they have shared that experience. Uh-huh. And so that the violations kind of, it's not just one violation. You almost can objectify yourself. Okay.
Okay.
And yeah. And not protect yourself, because that's like, well, you know, I told adults when I was 3 what had happened, and apparently, and why this person that did this to me did it to a number of other people that I've now met as an adult that I didn't know, and we didn't know each other, but you know, because I wasn't listened to and respected then, it did something to my basic sense of that particular area of being able to really have a boundary and feel, you know, justified in that boundry. You know, as funny as that.
Looking, you know, into your eyes, you're looking back into my eyes, just kind of wondering who's going to crack first.
Yes, okay.
I'm just kind of, because I'm just looking at you and I haven't seen you in a while. I'm just kind of thinking all these images and ideas and memories of certain times, you know, well, you know, not that long ago when we were happier times, before all the drugs and alcohol kicked in.
We used to take
each other sort of by the hand, you know, walking down the closet in Cannes and stuff like that. I don't know if you can cast your mind back to those sort of times.
Well, I mean, I have, you know.
Or castrate your mind back to them.
I have clean living and, you know, wholesome.
Mm-hmm. Wholesome, that's important.
Mm-hmm. That's important for some.
Yeah, wholesome.
So you're not a stranger to difficult topics. And you're not afraid of controversy. That's clear. You're not afraid to explore things that make people squirm. And talk to me about The Gift. I know that's the other film.
Well, or it's going to be At Risk.
It's going to be at the risk.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm not afraid to write it, and I'm not afraid to make it. I'm just afraid to show it.
Okay.
Because
so there's still a process that we've got to get through here.
At Risk was my first film, and it was inspired actually by a friend of mine who died of AIDS and was one of the earlier cases, and there was so much denial about AIDS in general, and then specifically in connection to that, there was also complete denial of the fact that women could, or that it could be transmitted heterosexually.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I had this belief that
even from the beginning, the global model has always been heterosexual.
I understand. Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. But that was not the way that it was dealt with in this country. And I didn't know that for a fact. I mean, I was aware of that when I was writing it, but I had this idea, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, my first friend who had passed away who was super close to me and I loved very much, he was gay, and my feeling was that we needed to make it that it was something that was all for all of us and to own all of it. So that's why I was making it a heterosexual AIDS story. That was the my thinking behind it. Well, there was great response to the script. And I was really fortunate in that regard. And
so, what is the essence of The Gift? What is the actual gift?
At risk.
Oh, at risk. At risk
or Free Fall is. We're in the process of doing some additional shooting because we're going to update it and make it sort of more Rashomon and more thriller. But it's really that, you know, just as the underlying thing actually with Stripped Down, that's bigger than the objectification, because when you objectify, it's that one is that to not have the abused become the abuser, and that, you know, I think if you track anything back to anybody that's abusive, you could probably find that they were abused, okay, and that it's the trick is that we don't turn around and do to others the bad things that have been done to us
behind our backs, so to speak,
or in their fronts, or in the at risk, one of the lines in it is like, fear made me blind to danger, and that if you become so afraid, and one of the things that was happening, you know, in the last many years is we get so manipulated by being afraid, and we focus on the wrong things,
yeah,
rather than having awareness. Mm-hmm. Because if you have awareness, it's so much easier to actually deal instead of being in denial. And denial is dangerous. And there was a fable that I sort of came up with in the movie that was, you know, mm-hmm. fear made me blind to danger. Mm-hmm. And right, yeah, so that's
and denial is a river in, as we know, in Poland or
in
Iowa.
Iowa. Yes. Iowa. Yes. Iowa. Yeah. Iowa. Yeah. Texas.
It's near Paris.
My next film will be on geography. But
my next chosen topic, yes, Alex, will be geography for 300.
Exactly. So, and that film, I showed it at the, it was nice. It was in a little sidebar in Cannes with Clerks and some other really nice independent films. And then I premiered at my first American Film Festival at the Hamptons, and they gave me the best slot on a Friday and Saturday night, sold out houses.
You slot.
Yeah, I know, I was a slot. and they flew me out in just first class manner and was treating me really great.
Well, that's
and,
nice.
Well, I went up in front of the audience and they just went crazy attacking me that women couldn't get AIDS. Oh. And
I really, we've all learned a little something to the contrary since then.
Well, that was still in its sort of infancy. That was, what was that, 91, 92, 93, 90, 94,
something
94,
like
so
that.
It wasn't
in its infancy. No, people were just in denial.
The idea of it being passed on to a heterosexual woman, especially like we'll say like a white heterosexual woman specifically.
That's it. Yeah, I think
specifically. Yeah,
but
I mean?
You know, and yeah,
but there's still denial. I mean, I remember, not to interrupt you, but I remember during the.
But I will.
Yes, of course. I'm taking a cue from your book.
Yeah.
The 2004 presidential debates, when Dick Cheney was asked about the statistics on female AIDS, and he drew a complete blank. And then I can't remember the person in the town hall meeting who sat there and gave him the statistics, and I watched this man just blanch because he did not know. This was the vice president of our country.
Well,
4 years
what
ago.
An example.
I understand, but I mean, this is know, what we've
great, what a great, what a great man,
like
though.
He
what a
would
great
care.
Man.
My point is
it's
this.
Like, you know, doesn't care my about point, children and Head Start.
My point is this.
Blanche DuBois.
He's emblematic of a lot of what this country's made of.
Well, not only that, what's
and
happened
the way
with
the
whole AIDS thing has happened is that I think there's been there's you know, medications, it's treatable. If you have money in this country, you're going to be
right.
Okay. So that there's been a letting down of people's guards
right.
in terms of practicing safe
practicing
sex.
Promiscuity and stuff like that, especially in the whatever communities. I mean, especially the younger generation.
Oh.
One, I mean, obviously, you know,
and Peter,
five or six generations behind me. I mean, no, teens in their 20s.
Well,
does that make sense?
But they really are not
practicing safe sex now again.
Because if you look at the statistics with STDs,
yeah,
or
even DVDs.
Or LMNOP.
Oh, my God. Can we list the saints again?
We need to do something else alphabetically. Sometimes we run a little kind of a little thing where we'll run the gamut of the alphabet
let's
A
list
through Z.
Let's pick a little topic and try to figure out.
Let's list STDs alphabetically. List A through Z. Okay, A, AIDS. B, ball rot.
C,
cock rot. D,
no,
dick
I would
rot.
Say C, cunt rot. D, dick rot.
D, dick rot.
Okay, you've got to be fair.
E,
oh, God.
Give us an E on
that's
it.
That's so very PC of you. I'm so, as a woman, I'm so touched. I could have waited
got,
for
you,
V.
You have E, F, and E, F, and G. You got E, F, and G. Go for it.
Go for it.
E, come on, please.
Why am I blanking?
E, elephantitis of the balls.
F, R of the penis.
Fungal
meningitis.
EFG,
okay.
Chlamydia, we forgot chlamydia.
Chlamydia, for God's sake.
G, gonorrhea, let's hear it for gonorrhea.
H,
herpes, of course.
H for herpes. This is frightening, there are a lot of these fucking diseases.
Let's do I. What would you for I? Iodine? No.
Oh.
I will never see you again because you gave me a dose of the crabs.
Oh, God, it's another C word. Crabs, chlamydia.
I.
Inflammation
of the balls again.
Yeah.
Or the vagina.
I. What comes after
J?
J. I don't know.
Jaundice of the balls.
The balls. You're fixated on the balls tonight.
We're in a testicular trap.
K.
K.
Chlamydia. No.
But yeah.
Kindling of the balls.
I'm proud to say that my teenage daughters could tell you, because they're very well informed in terms of safe sex, but they're very horrified by what their peers are doing.
Yeah,
and there's some really sad stories of young kids getting very, very ill, and and a flagrant, there's a whole sense of,
I hate those makeup counters with all those flagrants in them.
Yes, exactly. They're all,
spraying at you every time
you come in. That's why I miss the 60s and the 70s. All you have to do is,
walk into a place like Sephora. I was taking a walk down Gonorrhea Avenue on the corner of Herpes Lane and Gonorrhea Avenue. And I
corner of herpes and chlamydia.
Yeah. Hi.
I know we're missing some really key ones here.
No, but we'll get back to them.
We're not to venereal rewards.
Venereal rewards.
That covers V and W. Yes,
and that causes cervical cancer.
We'll come back later on. We'll go from L down to Z. You know what I mean?
Well, labia, L to Y.
Meningitis.
Labial meningitis.
could you expand?
Well, there are people whose brains are connected to their labium.
Labial majorum.
Labium majorum.
Menstrual
meningitis. I didn't know that you spoke Latin. You're very talented.
Oh, well, I was a priest once.
In a former life.
And a nun, too, I believe, as well.
Clearly a nun.
Go there. All in the same day.
I read a fantastic book called La Religieuse.
Oh, is that French?
No.
What does it mean? Can you explain?
It's Italian. Because everything is now Italian. All that was French is now Italian.
No. La Religieuse was an 18th century book about a girl who was forced to become a nun. And the nuns... And this was... someone needs a drink, clearly.
So, it sounded like a sake bong.
She wound up in this seemingly prim and austere nunnery, and only to find that the nuns were caught in the lascivious grip of every vice known to mankind that women can do alone.
Alone?
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure it was alone?
No, they didn't have men.
Well, alone.
They didn't have men. It's like, but they could do it together.
That's what I'm saying. orgies, fabulous orgies
alone,
together.
Not alone, alone.
I mean, they together. Separated from the masculine gender. They were able to find comfort in the...
In each other's womb.
In each other's arms.
In each other's vows. In each other's vows.
In each other's vowels.
So is this broadcast to all of the
to the nunneries? The diocese, yes. It's
given their track record, I think they're...
Our Mother of Good Counsel.
They're
going to
keep their mouths shut about things. Well, they won't keep their mouths shut, but they won't talk about the show. Sorry.
Fascinating.
Well, I'm sorry.
Why?
I'm not really sorry.
No, it's always just something to think about,
Snap is one of the benefactors of some of the fundraisers. And our publicist Ed Losey is involved with that, which is the survivors of sexual abuse by
menstrual meningitis
by priests.
Mm.
You know what? There's also a term. It's funny. I heard a term a few months ago called a black tracker. Have you ever heard of that?
I'm scared.
It's like a person who goes after people in religious orders, like for sexual sort of benefit. Like someone who would like be eyeballing nuns and priests down the street and kind of going, "Hey, what's up,
sister?
What's up, sister? Or what's up, father?"
Really?
It's the kind of reverse. It's not like it's not young people, but it's people who actually have a legitimate sort of desire, fetish to go
legitimate.
Well, I know, and you know what would be interesting is to see.
I mean, it's something I read. I know nothing of it.
But it may be that there's some underlying initial.
Well, there's always something under the habit.
Yeah, but you know what initiated that habit would be interesting too.
Yeah, to explore what that was.
Because so often, so much of what motivates people's sexuality is. These early experiences.
Well, it's just funny because the repression is.
That's why I have a sexual fetish for rubber ducks.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on.
But the repression usually is like.
Poor little
largely,
rubber ducky.
Poor little rubber ducky.
You're mostly, so much fun.
The repression usually is, more widely felt amongst the people who are in those orders, like who are priests and who are nuns. They can't have the outlet, so it's just it would be an interesting take.
Why can't they? What?
Well, because they're forbidden. They're married to God, my dear.
What was that
they are married to the good Lord
above.
There's
a nunnery that fell apart in an earthquake in Italy in the 80s, and within the walls there were hundreds of skeletons of babies that had been aborted in this nunnery over the centuries.
Oh, golly. That's not that unusual, unfortunately, no. But golly. No.
But that's probably largely got to do with young,
I don't know about
pregnant
aborted.
Girls who have come to the convent for solace.
And yeah. They're against abortions.
You know, that's right. They were, yeah, well, let's not even go into it. Okay, they were brought to term and then buried within the
yes.
walls.
Lovely.
Bring it to term, my dear, bring it to term, and then we'll kill it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Multiplied
by thousands.
Okay, this is really taking a very
This is such a
direction.
Happy show.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about a lot of serious subjects.
So Peter to pay Paul and Omar to...
Omar to look at Peter's Paul. Yeah. Well, no, we were talking about a lot of weighty topics, you know. We really were. Some with more weighty than others and some heavier than others and some that carried a lot more weight. And
such as yourself weighter, there with the...
Such as myself here packing on the pounds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
you still find it?
Well, I have several of them.
We provide all of our audience members
They're all detachable at this point. They're all detachable, and I have mirrors on the
Is that that song? Yeah, did they write that song
detachable
about
penis.
Detachable penis? Yeah, is that about you?
What?
The song Detachable Penis, is that
detachable
about you?
Detachable penis.
That's the Irish version.
Yeah.
Here you have it, Mrs. You take it.
Detachable penis.
I don't know that song at all, actually.
Well, the guy takes his little peeny weenie, his weenus, and he leaves it. It falls out of a window, and it winds up being sold on a blanket in the Greenwich Village. And he pays $3.
He's from Ireland?
Rinses it out and puts it back on.
No. He's from Ireland?
He was Irish. He was a black tracker.
He was a black man from Ireland?
He was black Irish.
He was black Irish.
That was his thing.
That was a long time ago.
I know someone who knows someone.
I know someone who knows someone who knows Angeline.
We had a conversation with someone who did.
And once heard about that.
So who are your favorite artists? Who are your favorite rock stars?
Who are my favorite? I don't have any.
No?
No.
No artists that you love? Painters?
I love painters and artists, but I don't have favorites. It's like having favorite children.
Like, do you prefer house painters?
Do you have favorite do you have favorite children?
No. I love them all. Yeah. Each and every one.
You have
I like it.
Recurring theme in the show.
Yes. I have such a wide...
don't we all?
Well, not as wide as yours.
I know. We've got to replace
a wide
the chair.
Berth, is that what you're saying?
We've got to replace that chair you're sitting in soon.
We need the floorboards redone as well.
Yeah. The goddamned... hayloft or something.
Yeah. It changes.
Yeah.
Piney Gurr.
Piney Gurr.
Piney
Gurr. What is that, Piney Gurr?
Piney Gurr. I love Piney Gurr.
Yeah, Piney Gurr. Yeah.
What's Piney Gurr? Is that true?
Piney Gurr is a band from England?
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you spell that? T-H-O-T.
I didn't watch it. When, how does that go?
I don't know.
How does that song go? K-I-S-S-I-N-G.
Oh, that's that song. That's the song from your from your movie. Yes,
Piney Gurr is hot.
I'm rather obsessive.
P-I-N-E-Y.
I like that song.
G-I-R. Not vinegar, Piney Gurr.
Piney Gurr.
Oh, it's like vinegar, but it's Piney Gurr. It's
okay,
like
so
pining for vinegar.
Let's do a plug again, please.
Strip Down, the movie.
A hair plug, maybe, this time. We'll do hair plugs.
Strip Down, the movie.
If you keep telling people Strip Down, we're not going to have any clothes left on.
Strip.
Strip Down. Strip, you dumb bitch.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to do a little...
Let's not have you naked on the show, please. I mean, God knows.
We did that before. It's not
Although there are people that thought, especially little kids who've seen the movie, because it's a kid's movie. Not at all. I'm just totally kidding.
It's totally a kid's movie.
But somebody, I mean, the number of them have thought that you were the lead in the movie.
The villain.
That you were Marcus. Jean Perret.
My dazzling charisma and my short haircut.
Yes, exactly.
Well, they both have kind of similar personalities.
And your cute ass.
That's it.
They both have similar personalities in the way that both of them are pretty kind of unremarkable.
Ooh.
You know? I wouldn't say that at all. I think quite the contrary. We're both.
I'm just taking a jibe at you, dude.
I see. You're lumping someone in who's not here to defend himself. First of all,
enormously talented and quite handsome,
vastly charismatic, and I'm flattered to be mistaken for him. And you know, I'm sure he's
and
feels
a
the same
loyal,
way.
Loyal friend.
She says,
"Could we have the definition of the word loyal, please?"
One of my favorite pit bulls. You knew I do keep a whole
range of
pit bulls around
a whole
me.
Kennel of them.
What are some of your favorite memories of spending time with Peter and Omar?
Peter and Omar.
Yes.
Oh, golly!
Take us back to a couple of the times.
Let's talk about
tripping down the sidewalk. I think in the Quozette,
that was
lovely, and Peter. taking his shoes off to go dancing. And
I remember that very well. Those things are really handy. I seem to recall
that, yes. I think we were all at a party somewhere up in the
hills.
We were at some villa, my dear, and you left me.
No, actually, that is not correct. What actually happened was it was you two motherfuckers. And I will say that because it's podcast.
No, I did. I left.
There were three versions to every story, as you know, your version, my version, and the truth.
And let me tell you something.
The actual story, what happened there was, you can tell me your version. I'll tell you mine. What happened there was, and then we'll go to other stories that have yet to be revealed. But what happened that night was we got to that mansion. We were all a little bit tipsy, as we were every night of the week. And I asked you guys, I had a drink in my hand, or several probably, I asked you guys to please hold on to my boots because my feet were fucking killing me.
When he says you guys, you mean Omar.
I mean Omar and
no,
you.
No, because I was off dancing with this guy.
Okay, well then, no. This is my version. I'm telling my version.
Okay, yeah, fine.
Your distorted version.
And then I left my boots and my drink with Omar and Ilana.
The stinky
boots.
And
then I made my beeline to the toilet. It took forever because it was a long, long line because people were doing all kinds of crazy things.
By the time,
there were all kinds of people to do in the toilet. Many, many. So by the time I got back an hour later or half an hour later,
there was nobody there.
You guys were gone and my boots were gone.
The party was over.
The party was not even over.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I started stumbling around. I got on one of those buses.
There was a head of one of the
and that was the best part.
This guy
had to wait until the end, and then the bus decided not to come.
And then someone, of course, well, you know, someone took my boots. I don't know where they were.
But luckily, I had both cell phones on me at the same time.
You had three of them.
So nobody could count. We only had two. Remember that whole fight we had at the beginning about getting three cell phones?
Somebody had a huge tantrum about it. Well, I know. Well, and you know what? Do you remember when you guys locked me in the apartment?
Oh, that was fantastic. Confession, we did it on purpose.
And I was weeping.
And that was genius.
That was disturbing.
That was yes.
Because who knew that there was a freaking deadbolt?
Yeah.
Because
we can't leave the door open. Let's lock it.
Omar and I were walking
and took the keys without it.
We got the phone call from... No, actually, from Madame beneath you, downstairs, to the left of you.
Crying, she didn't speak a word of
and
English.
The English was so bastardized
that
we just like cracked up and we
and
hung
you
up.
Hung, no, we hung up. Me, you hung up, and I said, "Oh, I know who you're talking to." Ask, and again, speaking in French, saying they are very bad men in French. Please help me. I'm trapped in here, and I miss.
Well, those people.
I know, but I had a meeting with all the Germans on that yacht. For months.
The Germans.
What could they have possibly done for you, my dear, the Germans?
Only film financing, darling. You might have actually become a movie star. But instead, you had to go and sabotage us once again.
Le plus ça change.
Okay.
That's a sabotage. You know, as I recall, we were going to do that lovely vampire movie that Stephen was going to direct, and you and I were the vampires.
We were the leads, with the lead teeth.
Well,
Stephen, whoever that was, I don't know, was going to direct it, but...
Yeah, but that famous Soderbergh.
Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sodom
and
Gomorrah.
Isn't that one of your cousins, Gomorrah? Oh, Gomorrah.
That's gonorrhea. Good morning, Gomorrah. How are you, doll? You look marvelous. You know, a little spotty.
It's like all
but you look great. How are you?
They're naming their kids.
So
like
Dom.
Corporations like McKenzie and... Whatever, you know? So you do.
So now, so we'll back do, to like, that little story. I really take your personal personal attack to this sort of idea that you're blaming me for sabotaging your trip to Cannes several years ago.
Oh, you didn't sabotage. You sabotaged yourself. I'm fine.
We had a hell of a good time. We had a hell of a good time on the way down.
I mean,
it was real good.
I
seem to recall.
We were supposed to be getting money for movies, and I'm locked in the apartment for 6 hours going
oh,
nuts.
Come on. Don't be so melodramatic. It was like 5.5 or something.
Okay.
Five and three quarters. Who's counting?
I had packed
It was actually
my,
all Omar's
so
fault.
Upset.
He was the one that told me
That's
to
right,
hang
you were completely
up.
Packed.
Yeah, I know. I packed my suitcase.
Oh, yeah, for the 10th time that week.
No, that was
I've had enough of you two guys for the 10th time this week.
Well, that's I'm talking to this woman through the crack that, you know, through the crack, through the balcony.
I thought you didn't go there.
Yes,
I thought
you were one of those ladies.
But let's not go there.
Peter, Omar. Any case, well, I baked this woman. Finally, she calls you, okay, after, because she didn't want
to. You baked her?
She did not want to speak to me because we had been gumming in at 4
o'clock. At 4.
4 and 7.
Bursting at like 5 and 6.
We were there. We were there for
our lungs.
We were there for 10 days.
And we're also quiet and 7 o'clock
every morning. And on the way out,
who has the biggest booming voice?
And we forgot. We all
were all there.
Yeah,
we're all
out of the
window. Flipping and banging in that.
Yeah, well, as I seem to recall it, though, you know, the lady obviously got the bedroom, as was she entitled to, seeing as she
had a bedroom, too.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Which I only used twice.
Really? No, you didn't. I think I used it one night.
I heard you snoring.
You used it once.
I could hear
you through three walls.
The original deal was that Alana was supposed to have her own bedroom, obviously, because she was...
A lady.
And then Omar and Peter were supposed to
switch
off. Every couple of nights. You'd have it for 3 nights, I've had it for 3, but did it work out that way? Oh, hell no.
Well, you didn't even come home. We weren't even home.
We never slept there. I mean, I rested my eyes occasionally.
You know,
I think we lived on nicotine.
I didn't have any nicotine, but I had...
We were smoking those.
No, I wasn't. Smoked.
Oh, that's right. You never did.
Never smoked those endless packets of Galois?
No, never. I did drink some Maker's Mark, though.
You smoked Maker's Mark?
Those fantastic white cigarettes. What were those?
I didn't smoke
anything. The Galois?
No, they'd be Cartiers.
Those are Cartiers.
But then I didn't smoke.
You didn't smoke.
And I remember eating lots of steak.
It's time to go out. I'm really tired. I wish I'd slept for the last 3 days, but I haven't. So what should we do? Let's have a shot of Maker's Mark.
That's what we did. That was
and
a little thing.
We'll have a steak.
Yes. And then, no, but you remember after you saved me, after I was like in tears and everything, after you came back after the second phone call and I said, asked her to speak to you instead of him, I said,
please put Omar on the phone.
I said, he doesn't speak French. and then you came back and got me finally. And we went down the Croisette and then Omar Sharif. Was having that backgammon tournament.
At the casino, or the Carlton Hotel.
The Carlton Hotel.
Peter's the one who actually found out about it.
Peter had found out about it from that guy.
From J.K. A.K. From A.K. Adams.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and at some party previous. It was like the people party or something.
Yes,
like that.
Where they opened the velvet ropes, were walking by, and they're like, you must be wanting to come in.
That's why we didn't need a publicist, because everywhere we went, we just waffled.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
And everybody knew who we were. But in any case, so we got there and to the Carlton, and they were having this thing.
Right.
And they were like, oh, no, you're fine. And I'm in a summer dress. And I'm like, I have had enough today. I am going to go home. And I put on
my God. You put on that 700-pound fucking dress.
Beaded dress. And I was so tired.
I felt heavy looking at you.
Oh, it was so exhausting.
But the best thing was the backgammon tournament that you hadn't played backgammon in years. And you beat some of the best players there.
I was the third runner up. It was
insane.
Me.
Yeah, but there were people
Omar Sharif.
There was Omar Sharif, who was world class. There was another guy
that's the English guy who was like a billionaire. There was one that wasn't pompous.
He was the guy that actually worked with AK.
Lord Hoozy Dingy was the one we liked.
Oh, and yeah, and
Al Schiller,
Harry,
David Al Schiller.
Whatever his name is, Harry or whatever, the guy from
Lord Harry Hoozy Dingy.
Yeah, someone
from Sotheby's. He was very nice.
Yeah, and he was very nice. But remember, people were buying back games to play against me so that they could go. And the guy that was beat. Oh,
God, he was so angry.
Oh, and
because
he was,
you were not meant to be able to do all of that.
Oh, no, he was trying to keep making sexist remarks because he thought that it would intimidate me. And so at first
little
I was like, because we were supposed to play three out of, you know, we had to win two out of three. So I was like, okay, then I guess I'm going to have to win the first two.
Yes.
So then I got, when everybody was standing around and the room was spinning.
We've been awake for freaking 4 days. I, on the other hand, could not remember what direction to move my chips. I was playing in the opposite direction with Lord Harry. He was like, I believe you're meant to go the other direction. Like, what? It's like, are you comfortable here? Do you like to finish playing? I'm like, can we stop? He's like,
I think I remember us commenting on the fact that at that point, both of us, you and I, Peter and Omar, we changed brains for the course of those 10 days. I was very, very kind of together.
You were amazing at driving. Do you remember? That was incredible. A
brilliant driver. I would drive.
Meanwhile, I forgot how to 10, speak French. 15, I forgot how to
and I immediately spoke French.
You did speak French. I did.
You basically stole everything that was good about me and left me the.
And I gave you everything that was bad about me.
That you are.
And I just collected Juan, Jean, and John.
That's right. You had your streaming trail admirers.
My Spanish
Recall, my dearest Ilana, do you recall that trip back to the Hotel du Cap? Ever?
You better not name drop, darling.
I'm not name dropping.
That top agent from the mega stores was buttering my croissant.
Yeah, yeah.
And pouring Maker's
and
Market dog.
Maker's Market, yes.
And that was right.
That was like 7:30 in the morning.
Jean was pretending that. Whatever.
It's funny. I have a completely different recollection.
He massaged my foot.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
That was a fascinating
morning. I was driving, of course. Peter was driving.
You drove.
I drove like to the Hotel.
You did an amazing job.
Amazing
driving. And the sun was coming up.
Faultless. We were served cocktails at 7 a.m. at the Hotel.
You guys were. I was having.
I had a double Maker's Mark with one ice cube.
And I think you had like a, I don't know what a... You had a big drink, too.
And
I'm sure, if I know me.
You had a buttered croissant.
I had a bitter croissant.
Courtesy of
and
the famous agent.
Yes.
Whose name we shall not reveal, but he does work for a company that has three letters in its name.
Lord have mercy.
No, but he was... Oh, behave. He was lovely. He was very good.
He really
good.
Was. And actually, I met him subsequently, like about a year later, at a little dive hangout in New York called Milano's.
Yeah.
But that really was a wonderful time that we all had.
Yeah.
It really was, yes.
He knows how to butter a croissant.
Mm, he certainly does.
Really?
And feed me.
And my dear.
Mm-hmm. And I remember we ate an awful lot of entrecote.
Yes,
and
we
this
did.
Is another
and I had gorgeous dresses. Do you,
you
remember my
dresses? I remember shopping.
The blue one was
yes.
my favorite.
Yeah, I'm sure you do remember shopping. You did very well.
I did very
all
well
of a sudden, you disappear
trip.
With one of the salesmen and come back with an amazing outfit.
Excuse me.
There is no excuse.
Try this one, Peter. Okay, I will. Thank you. I'll be right back, Ilana. Oh, you take your time, sweetie. Yeah,
yes,
don't worry about
this
it.
This suit looks wonderful.
How do I look at this? You look great, but how do I look in this one?
Yes, I think it was a credit from my mother. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do remember that whole thing. That Armani suit?
Yes, the Armani suit.
Yes, I do remember that.
Oh, my God.
That gray Armani suit, somebody in our circle at the time had a huge, huge hissy fit about. No one here. But someone else.
Oh, well.
You know, a larger lady, let's say, had a history.
Oh, goodness. I don't know to whom you're referring.
We don't know overweight people, my dear.
No.
Although there was a
trip to Vegas.
Let's contextualize this for our listeners.
Please.
You know, we don't just flit around from festival to festival. We do flit around from festival to festival.
Oh, that was genius.
That was for Cine Vegas. We actually had very serious reasons for being there.
Yes, drinking and parties.
None of which we kept up with. All I remember is waking up, well, coming to consciousness.
Well, let's do the backstory. So there was four of us who were going. Yeah.
Originally, we're going to share one room.
Originally, it was going to be one room, but none of us could really deal with the sight of looking at each other in the morning. So we
decided
to
have two.
Well,
no, I think it would have been okay.
No, somebody's mother brought us another room.
Somebody's mother felt that some of the behavior was inappropriate, and it wasn't my mother.
It certainly wasn't mine.
Because my mother would have encouraged me to stay in one room.
My mother would have been in denial that I was going.
My mother knows how shy I am.
And then what happens?
There was a wardrobe malfunction. I have to say, I still remember the vision.
Oh, God. I don't want to know.
I don't know.
Well.
And then there was a baby obsession. We were having babies, a baby obsession at the time. Yes. Peter and I were looking at babies everywhere.
I remember that. We were shopping for
babies. Yes, and we were like, oh, look at that one. That one's so cute.
Oh, my God. I do remember that, yes.
Dear.
And then what happened? And
something to do with Celine
Then I
Dion.
Went home and got pregnant with somebody
Dion.
Else.
I mean, sorry.
Right after that weekend, that was the result of that weekend. It changed my life.
Well, for the better.
Absolutely.
But yes, that was it. I remember then, I think at one point.
You had a magnificent daughter who just turned four.
Oh,
yes.
Yes.
What? She has a magnificent little daughter who just turned 4.
Oh, yes. 4. I think said 40. I was like,
well,
4.
Well, sweetie, eventually, but not yet.
But I remember waking up that morning. I think I was sharing the room with Peter, and we probably arrived back a little
Peter.
Later. with myself, sharing it with myself and Omar. With my Peter, sharing it with my little
yes,
Peter.
Yes, you were.
Yes.
That
and,
I did see.
And we woke up, and we were banging on the adjoining hotel suite.
And I was
but to no avail, because somebody...
No, there was a
somebody
note.
Had left or something. Do you remember
well,
that?
Well, I know, but the thing was, is I kept trying to... I was just going to leave by myself.
Right.
And someone was rather insistent
well,
that...
Well, because
that,
she'd caused the problems the night
I know.
Before.
Well, because I mean, it had to do with Celine Dion's bodyguard. Because I slapped him in the face.
Oh, right.
Because he was
that,
had his hands all
there was that
in my stuff.
All up in your stuff.
All up and through your stuff.
All up in my stuff.
All up in my stuff. Yeah. All over your
he
face.
He was guarding
stuff.
My body.
Yeah.
I seem to remember the drive back then after you guys had left. We were driving back in one of the
Grand
fleet.
Theft
the
Dodo.
Fleet, as our, yes. The fleet, as our friend used to call it.
Not
and we got a phone call on the road about how...
Oh, my goodness.
We were getting threatened to
yes.
For
so
a Grand Theft Auto or something.
No, yes. So what? Let's
We've
have
some
other...
We've had some good times, haven't we?
No, there were good times. I'm not saying that in a bad way. They were good. It was enjoyable.
Yeah. But anyway, we're there for CineVegas. It's because there was a filmmaking aspect. And
absolutely.
There still remains
CineVegas
one.
Is great.
And didn't you shoot some of the CineVegas?
Oh, we had done the trailer with Dennis Hopper
that's
at
right,
the studio.
Yes.
Those were in the when I was a studio head that gave...
Were you
gave the studio?
She gave
no,
and she
I
gave
really.
Until it hurt. Now, were you the inspiration for Lady Boss, the Jackie Collins novel?
Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I've heard.
I know you bought it for me.
I bought it for you because I heard that it was really very loosely based on your life.
Yes.
I thought I bought that for her.
Well, Peter, your trust fund had been cut off at that point.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I had to do that.
Tragic.
So, now, how long have you known Jackie Collins, and what's your friendship like?
Oh, it's been rocky. I mean, there was the whole Linda Evans incident where she gets a little jealous of my relationship with her.
With Linda?
Yeah.
Wow. Why?
It just goes back to those Dynasty days.
Yeah,
Dynasty.
I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
She holds up pretty well, though, for a broad of her extended years. She really does. You know?
Well, that's Joan. You're getting them confused.
Jackie's
the...
Jackie. Aren't they both like 80
both,
or something?
No,
they're both like 80?
Well, you know, those twins. You know the twins? The twins that are in the movie?
Yes.
You know my twins?
Are
and
they?
They're in all my movies?
Yes.
I think I was in the car with you when... One of them called and invited me to go out to
Burgundy.
That, to Burgundy.
To go to the castle.
Yes, yes, yes.
And,
I remember that.
When you were talking about the invitations and
well.
That I wouldn't have and that I would get a free first class ticket and I wouldn't have to do anything I didn't want to.
Well, but you're going
to
want to.
And, you know, there's nothing as scary as not having to do anything you don't want to and being, you
know. Which usually means... It's that advisable that you do want to do this.
Yes, exactly. Or you don't go.
Yeah, you don't go.
You know, I like the, you know, so no, I didn't go. But when you were saying that earlier about your
but
travel,
I remember it sounded very
well,
intriguing
you know, I
at
have
the time.
To, I have to be careful where I
lay your
my tree.
Lay your head.
Lay my head, so to speak.
Travel.
Your maiden head.
Maiden head, yes.
So.
Oh, there were good times, good times. So what's next on the roster for you, Alana?
Well, I'm doing this shoot in August, and I'm going to actually...
You're going back to Cannes to shoot it?
No, we're shooting some of it, and it's been shot in San Francisco. And then I'm going to be on the road, going from DVD store to DVD stores, signing DVDs. With Marcus, my co-star, we're going to be selling them out of the trunk of the car. Not really.
But a really nice car.
Yeah, a Prius.
But a
and,
Prius.
And we're going to be sleeping in the Prius.
Oh, nice.
Totally PC.
Well, that's probably the thought. We'll be also going to some colleges.
Would you like a driver?
Possibly.
Yeah, well then,
you know,
look me up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's make sure that you switch brains before you do it.
Yes, there you go. And then I'm going to, there are two projects. There's a film that I don't want to say the title because I really like the title and titles aren't copyrighted.
Wise.
Say it to us,
Wise.
And it's a comedy. Thank God, finally.
Really?
The other one's a comedy, too, but I mean...
It's just not funny.
Yeah. I mean, the at-risk one has Vince Vaughn in it and Randy Travis.
Mm-hmm.
And...
That's what I wanted to say. That's Vince Vaughn's first film, feature film. Is it his first
he did.
Film?
He was in Rudy. But it was his first really big.
What's Rudy? Nobody remembers that.
No, Rudy's a good.
I'm kidding.
But it was a smaller. But I don't remember. It was Sean Astin, isn't it? Yes. John Favreau. But he was amazing. That's where it all started. Amazingly supportive and wonderful and at risk and really great guy. And then I'm going to do that and I'll probably do I'm supposedly in Greg Hatanakis' film playing Professor.
The current one.
It's
called No Regrets, I think.
Yeah, all of them are called No Regrets.
Je ne regrette rien.
Do you remember that whole Jambon and Fromage thing?
Oh, that place is so good.
Favorite thing was
the film festival.
Agatha, I regret that I shall not be able to join you.
We were fully in character. It was really amazing.
And then there's a comedy that I'm going to be doing. That's a science fiction comedy. And then I'll probably be taking an acting role in this too. Oh yeah.
Oh yes. Okay.
I'm not sure if I'm going to do the lead again or not. Mm-hmm. It depends on the budget.
On whether you do or you don't.
Yeah, it's the budget size.
I'd like to throw my name into the hat for...
And I'll throw it right back out again.
I'd like to play a role in the film.
Okay, there you go.
As would I.
And then there's...
Very funny, very small.
There's a couple of roles.
And then I'll play Peter.
And I'll play Omar.
Peter the Pumpkin Eater. And then there's... or whatever he eats. Peter eats anything.
Maybe we've heard he eats any and everything.
Yeah, and then... And then James Avalon's film called Walking the World on a Monday. We'll probably shoot that actually before we shoot the comedy. Where I play
a much older woman
than my actual years, who gets involved. She's a widower and owns a bookstore, and she gets involved with a young guy who's also a widower in his.
So you're both widow warbirds.
Yes, and I'm a widow, and he's a widower.
I don't like the idea of killing spouses, but if you must do this, it's fine.
Well, we didn't kill him.
Yeah, sure.
It's a very...
You've already revealed your...
It's a very
dark... Thirst for revenge, it's clear.
No. It's very dark. It's a very...
Jungian. Old Ian.
It's an old Ian. It's a really sweet...
Jungian.
It's a very sweet character piece that James wrote, and I'm excited.
Is it a full-length feature?
It's a full-length feature with
How long is it?
Long 90 something pages.
Wow, that's and big.
Apparently the male lead is supposed to be very attractive and his late 20s.
I cast him out because it's sex?
It's like Harold and Maude.
Oh, okay.
Well, she was elderly.
I know.
She was 100 and that's he was 14.
That is my joke.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was going to say
I mean my character's in her 40s and he's
and he's 20 something and Lothario and
no he's well he you know he's
latrine,
depressed
a latrine.
His model his former model wife has died and yes
boo hoo bah humbug.
So it's autobiographical.
Autoerotic.
Yes, autoerotica.
Speaking of autoerotica. Yeah.
I thought you were going to, discuss that this evening.
Well, I've been sort of like doing it sort of like quietly to myself during the course of the conversation.
I see.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sort of at the cord away from your neck right now, kind of thing, where I'm about to explode.
For us to talk about autoerotic asphyxiation.
That's what we're really talking about right now.
We've done an hour. Okay.
That's a good
place to
end.
So I think it's going
to
stop us on that point, but I'm going to go forward. Thank you, Engineer Gregory.
Go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Gregory.
Okay, I don't really understand autoerotic asphyxiation.
Well, I think we need to do it, Dylan.
Let's do it.
We'll start with asphyxiation.
Well, then it wouldn't be auto, my dear.
To do it backwards.
As my eyes narrow, my teeth glint.
No, believe me, that sensation you're feeling is normal. It really is. Yeah. I know you feel like you're dying, but it's okay.
Which one chokes, which one blows? That's all I want to know. So,
well, that, I know
which
when
one
I'm
do you
with
gag
you,
on?
You two, which one
gags?
Yeah. So a lot of people are into that. I mean, I thought it was usually like younger people that were into autoerotic asphyxiation.
Jungian people.
No, that's why all these old guys get killed in the garage. Because when we were little kids, they were really just asphyxiating themselves.
They were really actually trying to get their last jollies. And
yeah, they were attached to the garage door.
I mean, I understand the principle. You start losing consciousness, your senses, it isolates your focus on your sexuality, and the orgasms are really, really powerful.
Well, there's also that, you know, I mean, there's something to the actual lack of oxygen to your
That's
brain.
What I mean. You're essentially losing consciousness.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like swooning
while
you're having
sex. It creates
a form
of euphoria
sex.
And yeah, chemicals are released.
Really good, I remember. Feels yeah.
And then the orgasms are really powerful.
Swooning and having sex is like always a good thing.
That's fine.
A whole
but
hell of a lot.
I don't think that
Well, I mean, has anybody choked you ever?
No.
Well, I mean, the real question is, have you ever choked anything?
Yeah, of course. Anything or anyone.
An artichoke.
I've choked a guy named Artie.
Artichoke,
yeah. Badum-tush.
It might have choked Artie, but it won't choke Stiney. Isn't that from The Little Rascals?
I don't know. I wasn't around back then. That's your era.
Where
were
you in
that's
The Little Rascals?
I played Alfalfa.
No, Alfalfa Sprout.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you played that
and
other
I
one.
I played with Alfalfa.
Oh, no.
The one, you know, the guy with the little cap.
Tubbs?
Porky.
Not Pam. Not
Peter's
Porky.
Role.
Not Porky. His name wasn't
Fats,
Porky.
Fats. That was his name.
No.
No?
Who? Maybe?
Spanky. That fat fuck.
I didn't say that fat
I
fuck.
I did.
He wasn't a fat fuck.
Yes, he was.
Oh, he was a cute.
Spanky.
Spanky
the monkey. We have lost our producer.
Spanky the monkey.
He's a monkey.
Aww, monkey.
Little monkey.
Spanking that monkey, yeah.
Well, see, now you have something to look forward to. You know, if you had gone the
not
corporate...
Much, though, just
if
a little
you,
thing.
If you'd gone the corporate route, you probably would have done it.
If I'd gone the corporate route, I'd probably be dead.
Well, you know, you'd be in, like, some office, you know, with your tie around your neck.
Yeah. Called my calls.
Why do you think men wear ties around their necks?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Why don't you enlighten us, please?
No, she's made it very clear.
You know, it's so that they have something to do when they're, you know,
when they're bored
alone
in their
goddamn
offices.
This was before the internet.
Ties were invented before the internet. I don't believe a word
of
this.
Yeah, you know how guys look at porn at work now?
I
you know
nothing about that. I don't look at porn.
Well, he doesn't work
on Tuesdays.
More to the point.
On Tuesdays or Wednesdays. Well, I may not sort of be, you know, gainfully employed all the time, but you may show up for work, but I know from conversations I've had with you, you do absolutely nothing when you're there.
You're absolutely right. Why should I?
I mean, I've heard the long litany of your day between going to the dry cleaners and the 4-hour lunches and this, that, and the other, so I don't really know that that constitutes work. But anyway,
well, but that's why you would strangle yourself with a
yes.
tie in your office while you're
exactly.
doing your autoerotica just so that you're not so deadly bored.
See, I thought autoerotica is when you fuck the tailpipe of your car.
Well, you could do that too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
And is that something you've done recently?
Yes.
You fucked the tailpipe of your car?
I did.
How is your
awesome.
Car? Is
the
it good?
The car is great.
Ow, ew, that hurts. Ow, ooch.
The car is angry at me because I didn't say goodnight after
you,
I had
you
my
didn't
way.
Kiss
you didn't
it?
Blow it goodnight.
I didn't kiss it.
You didn't
it.
Cuddle?
I didn't cuddle afterwards. I just had my way and parked it.
How mean.
I know.
Very cruel.
Heartless beast.
You know, you've always been such a cuddler, too. I'm kind of surprised.
I just didn't feel the same way after it was over.
Yeah, that's so you know mad. That is just so mad.
Or even when it began, or anywhere during the process.
This is great, but I'm already losing respect for you.
Yeah.
Everybody.
I know. That's just so why, you know, that's why I'm a big proponent of
I know
of
my car
teases.
Is a whore sitting there just with that tailpipe available for everyone. I just can't trust it.
I think we've kind of, you know, exhausted the tailpipe.
Exhausted the tailpipe.
I think we've beaten it.
At this point.
We've exhausted the tailpipe.
I got it the first time. I just was...
let's tell it one more time just in case you
no,
didn't
No, let's not, please.
Get
let's,
it.
Not, let's not have it one more time.
Did we
let's
exhaust
not.
It? Oh, God.
All right, Spanky.
Well, we this have a couple of minutes left. So
we've actually gone over.
We've gone over, but it's fine. I think at the top of the shore somewhere through it, we got as far as L on the...
On the venereal scale.
On the venereal scale. So we finish at L. Let's go M.
Open your mouth.
To Z. M to
what,
Z with
what?
The various venereal diseases, unless you want to change the topic up.
What is it?
Menorrhea.
Menorrhea. Menstrual meningitis?
No. Oh, yeah.
And then N.
Menstrual hepatitis.
See, all of them have the same first letter, like hepatitis, herpes, chlamydia.
Yeah, they're all the same letters, like H, C, and L.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Okay, so then there's M. What's M? N. So what's N?
N is for...
narcolepsy. Meningitis.
Yeah, well, you know, we narcoleptic
herpes.
Narcoleptic herpes, exactly. That's what it is. It only happens at...
Narcoleptic asphyxiation.
Yes.
That's a problem. That is definitely
when you choke your own self during sleep.
O is...
and orgasm and don't remember any of
it. Ostrich cock. You know, when it's an infant.
O?
Where you stick it in the sand.
Well, no, O is for...
it refuses to come
O is
out.
For oral herpes.
Ew.
P?
Oh, golly.
P is for...
penile warts.
Penile warts. Okay, Q?
Dysfunction.
Q is for queasy-making gelatinous substances between your legs.
Or quaffing.
Quaffing. What is quaffing?
Or is for rabies, but human rabies.
Yes, human rabies. That from getting bitten by
S
the wrong
is for
bitch.
Obviously for syphilis, or stiff a lot of us.
Stiffle, snuffle.
S is for syphilis.
Syphilis, yeah. Syphilis. P is for... syphilis.
T is for...
P. S or P.
Testicular cancer.
Testicular hemorrhoids.
Oh, God.
T.
U is for ulva-roids.
U is for ulcerous...
is there
U is for ulcerous labia.
Oh, God. I'm now feeling queasy quaffs.
Vaginal. So let's give the V to you, sweetheart.
No, it was the vaginal.
V and W. She had the grand slam of the day. Vaginal warts. V and W. You get the Volkswagen prize.
Yes.
And then X.
X is for X-rated.
Xylophone.
Xylophonic. Asphyxiation.
Oh. And then Y is
why?
It's for urinary.
Why
tract
did you give that?
Urinary.
Why did you give that to me?
Why is for urinary?
Why you bitch? Why did I do it?
Why you bitch?
Why didn't I use a condom?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Jesus. Exactly.
Why didn't I use a dental dam?
Why did I sleep with you that one night?
Why did I swallow that dental dam?
Why did I swallow the load? There's a sexually transmitted
become diseased auto.
Have either of you ever? I mean, I'm sure neither of you have, but I mean, do you know anybody who's ever used a dental dam?
I had
dentists,
one, but I didn't.
9 out of 10 dentists. What do you do with that sort of thing?
you actually put it over your teeth.
There's this thing that these women have called clitorises.
Clitori, I think actually.
Clitori.
It's like the cactus.
Yes,
it's cacti, clitori.
The thing
I think.
That you ignore.
It's the thing that has the pricks on the outside of it.
It's their flower.
It's their flower.
One of many flowers.
Venus flytrap.
It's
you
the
mean.
Thing you ignore yes. while you're getting your rocks off.
Oh yes, and then there's vagina dentata.
Vagina.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. Love that.
Is that a mint gum or something?
That's
like that
sounds like a
gum.
Sounds like a gum. Long
lasting. Chews like gum. Tastes like chicken.
Strip down to Revenge of the Vagina.
Revenge of the Vagina.
Okay, yeah, keep on the loss. Strip down with a vampire film, except the teeth will be down there.
I think we leave the strip down. We had that pole all that time, and we never used it.
Oh, I used it.
Oh, I used it once or twice.
I know, and that's why.
And there was a certain.
Now, if you laugh too hard,
there was a certain reality show that we.
What comes out?
I have to be silent for a moment. I'm still trying to grasp that.
Leakage.
Leakage.
Hold that closer to your mouth, sweetie. Hold it closer to your mouth.
Xylophonic leakage.
Ew, I'm afraid I'll get some on me.
What was that weird...
Scatological garden?
That scatological show that we
SCTV.
Bands going wild.
Oh, my God. It's with your friend Samuel. Oh. Not that,
no,
not that
no
good
names.
Looking. Samuel, not
well,
that
he
good
wasn't
looking.
Well, he wasn't ashamed. I was... there's nothing. There's just going to be some dancing, and it's a couple that really loves each other, and they're not having sex.
Oh,
they're just dancing
God.
With each other. We walk in, and it's
excellent mohawk, and he's like chowing down on his wife's vagina dentata.
Well, that wasn't my. I didn't have a problem with that part. It was the part that reminded me of like being on a farm.
I don't recall. But what I think you mean.
You don't recall? Okay, well, I think you watch this fist. Okay.
I think I think.
And up to his shoulder.
Oh, but they were
like this whole thing, like right up there.
Don't you remember?
I do, sort of. I was weeping. I was too busy trying to get my boy band on the stage.
No, and then.
to deal with that, yes.
And then I took Sam Cute out of. I said, "Come here right now. That is not what we agreed to. Your children would be very ashamed of you. Let me see that picture. You have a picture of you with Mother Teresa. Take it out of your wallet. Look at that picture."
And then, he go for it.
And then he's like, collapse. "I'm going to have a heart attack." Then he went to the bathroom and
had a heart attack on top of the picture.
That was one of our finest nights.
Oh, that was genius. That was a genius night.
The memories we have, things we've done.
Oh my God, we have done.
But that was horrifying.
Well, was, in hindsight, it wasn't.
I liked the dance. The strippers on the
there
stage.
There was quite a hind.
You got your, but you got your revenge.
I was so traumatized.
You got your revenge on the director's on the director because his girlfriend.
Remember
came
when you had that
meltdown? You said,
"No, that wasn't his girlfriend. That was his wife."
And you said,
"His girlfriend was in the dressing room
I thought
with
that he's in, I thought
he was just in there having sex with that woman and snorting coke.
Yeah,
fucking disgraceful.
And his wife was like, "What?"
Only because he was. And that guy happened to owe me a $7,000 too, if you recall.
There's a few.
Because Sam had said, this was when I first was in Hollywood.
He's a very successful producer, by the way, right now. Just FYI.
Lovely.
Who is that?
The guy that owed me money and was about to get beaten up
by
Hood.
Is he a short guy?
Yes, they all are. And
if you want to make it in Hollywood, you've got to be 5'8", baby.
And that's so short, he's not. Actually. He's not. Not
that
to you.
Is short to me.
But in any case, it's lying down that matters. But in any case,
here we go. Now we're getting somewhere.
Seriously, folks. No, because Sam, I was such a sweet young thing, and he said to me, "Oh, this friend of mine is going to be, his legs are going to be broken. He's going to be killed if you don't." And I went to the bank and I was like, "I'm going to be smart about this. I'm going to get it secured." So this guy gave me security in his company.
Oh, great.
Oh, which probably I could own, but.
Now you could.
Ugh, yeah.
He's got a deal at Paramount.
Oh.
Yeah.
He's done.
Let's
not even go there.
Wow.
I met him when he first rolled off the Haytrek from Canada.
Yeah,
he was a nice, innocent young thing that started dating strippers and developed a nice drug habit. Now he's ready for Hollywood.
Yep, too bad.
Well, we haven't. We got to Z. Do we have something for Z? Because we went off on a whole tangent for Y.
Is really. Let's leave that to our listeners to write into us.
Zealous. Yes.
Yeah, zealous lips or something. I don't know.
Zealous lips.
I don't know.
What does it even mean?
That wasn't even. Interesting or funny. Write into us at peterandomar@gmail.com and give us suggestions. And by the way, you know, if you're also, you can also give us instructions. You can leave us information as to how we can contact you so you can send us money.
And lots of gold.
We like gold. We like lots of gold.
And if you want to contact us, we are available through an email.
peterandomar@gmail.com.
Com. And we're also on iTunes.
We're on iTunes,
as well,
bitches.
Streaming through. Well, drowning through.
We're all up and through Podomatic.
All up and through the space.
Up in that stuff.
We're all up in your stuff on Podomatic.
And, I mean, we can keep going for another. If you've got something you'd like to talk about.
No, just buy my movie.
Oh, just buy your movie.
StripDownTheMovie.com. StripDownTheMovie.com.
Or IPPEDDOWNTHEMOVIE.com.
That would be right. You actually learned how to spell tonight. No, he's reading cue cards. Okay, so very good.
Well, thank you guys. It was a pleasure.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. We will definitely have you back.
Oh, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Or we'll have your back.
Yeah, I thought you
had
it.
All over your face, baby.
And when you were stabbing it.
Good luck to all of your endeavors and all of your accomplishments. And
well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And, you know, we look forward to seeing the next... piece of work from you.
Yeah,
or me, actually.
Me too.
Or any of us.
Yeah, well, you know, we should,
we should
make
get together
a movie.
And
let's
hang
make
out
something
and
happen.
You know, maybe we should hang out and do a radio show one time.
Well, oh my gosh.
Can you imagine?
Let's put
what do
on
you
a
think?
Show.
Let's put on a little
What do you think?
That's like the White Christmas.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
You know, a recessive genetically recessive Christmas.
Yes, Santa. That essentially is. And you know, and men are damaged genes. So what can we do?
And Send them back. Are you a recessive gene or are you a...
I'm a dominant.
You're a dominant. Yeah, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. What do you think your most dominant gene is?
We'll sign off. I'm bored with you. Not you, Alana. No.
Thank
you. We can keep talking as the music goes. We can keep talking as the music fades. That's the way we like to do it.
That's the way you like to do it.
Bless you. Is that your most dominant?
Is that a new STD? Now they'll really
you
be
just
something.
Got it, you just got it here first tonight.
Now somebody can really lick it off the ball.
Yeah.
That's the next person. Good. Awesome.
Awesome, baby. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much again.
Fun.
Le long ferru.
The hairy tongue.
Back by popular demand.
Yeah.
Let's see that hair.
Except nobody has any hair anymore.
Huh?
No one has any hair anymore.
That's true.
You know,
that's how you.
But everyone has that Brazilian thing.
Well, I don't have Brazilian. I mean, I have hardwood floors.
Some people like their wood to be.
I like it.
Sanded down to a fine finish. Yes. And others like their clams in a half shell. You know. It's a wholesome family
show. That's up for a note.
I think we're going to stop talking right now. Good night.
Drink!